Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If I can request all the brothers to come forward close to the member, jazakallah. Please come close to the members and fill in all the gaps. Inshallah, we can get the bayan started. Imam Hazar se guzarish hai ki aage qareeb tashreef le aaye. Please, brothers, fill in all the gaps in front of us. There are still people praying salah. Just be mindful of those who are still praying salah. And inshallah, come forward and close to the member. The closer we are, and inshallah, the more zeal that we show, inshallah, the more we will learn, and Allah will give us the tawfiq and make it easy for us to act upon what Mufti Sahib will be sharing, inshallah. Jazakallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه وذلك أضعف الإيمان وقال الله عز وجل إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم وقال تعالى ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون إنما يؤخرهم ليوم تشخص فيه الأبصار. My dear respected brothers, friends, colleagues, mothers and sisters listening at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I have just returned a few days ago from the blessed cities of Makkatul Mukarrama, Madinatul Munawwara, and then Al Masjidul Aqsa in Al Quds, and then also Syria, Damascus, and other cities of Syria, which is all part of the blessed land of Sham. Today's topic and today's theme is about Gaza. But the situation in Gaza is not detached from the situation of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. For the benefit of those who have not visited, Palestine, Palestine, there are different parts of Palestine. Gaza is a small strip, that's probably the size of Manchester overall, which is on the coast, on the southwestern part of Palestine, on the border of Egypt. The southern part is Egypt. And then you have this strip on the coast. This is Gaza. And the people of Gaza at the moment, there is a siege. So nobody can enter, nobody can exit. No goods can enter, no goods can exit, other than the goods that are allowed by the Israeli occupation. So this is Gaza. Within this same area, the wider area of Palestine, you have an area called the West Bank. Al-Dhaffatul Gharbiya, the West Bank. It's called West Bank because before 1967, you have the River Jordan on the east. The East Bank is Jordan. And the West Bank is now Palestine, part of Palestine. So the Palestinians, after 1967, after the Arab-Israeli War, they were divided. Some went to Jordan, the part, West Bank, which was part of Jordan, now became part of, under Israeli occupation control. So you have some Palestinians there. And then the other Palestinians were driven into Gaza. And you have some Palestinians living in what is Israel today. Palestine, but Israel, because it's in their control. And at the heart of this area, you have the city of Al-Quds, which is home to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Now, I'm mentioning this because I want to share some of what we saw in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. But the reason why this context is important is because the people of Gaza cannot come to the West Bank. The people of Gaza cannot perform Salah in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. In fact, now, due to the situation, the people of West Bank, Ramallah is only 15-20 minutes from the city of Quds. But the people of the West Bank, predominantly, the majority of them cannot come to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, cannot enter the city of Al-Quds. And even if they can enter, somehow they enter the city of Al-Quds, they cannot enter Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. When I went in August last year, I saw with my own eyes, Palestinians on the door of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. When I say the door, meaning the compound. The whole compound is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Being refused. It shows your ID, being refused. Because they did not have the permit for Jerusalem. Their permit was probably of the West Bank. So there are people, Palestinians, who can see Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, but they cannot perform Salah in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. They cannot enter Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And the reason why Gaza is directly connected to the we have lots of crises in the world. We had Syria now, alhamdulillah, it's been liberated. We don't have the time now, otherwise I would have mentioned to you the halat of Syria, the victory of Syria and the liberation of Syria. We have sufferings in different parts of the world. But why Gaza is unique is because they are the last line of defense for Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Otherwise, it's a small strip of land, only 1 million people or slightly more. There's plenty of land in Arabia, the deserts of Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, and this is the plan. They want to evict these people and they'd be living in relative luxury. The only reason they are there is because they are the last line of defense for Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. So this is very, very important for us to understand that the plight of our brothers and sisters in Gaza is directly connected to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Now, briefly, what we experienced in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And one of my key messages here today, I have been giving lectures on Palestine. Some of you may have attended in Jami Masjid, Masjid al-Sajideen, other places. One of my key messages today is that we need to visit Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith, لا تشد الرحال إلا إلى ثلاثة مساجد. Journey should not be undertaken except to three masjids. Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara and Masjid Al-Aqsa. There is no other journey. There is no other journey to any other masjid in the world which has any surplus merit, any extra virtue. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed huge emphasis on visiting Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And I say to you, my brothers and my mothers and sisters listening at home, that if you want to revive your iman, then the place to go is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. The place to go is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. When you see the courage and the bravery of the Palestinians, Wallahi al-Azim, the masjid, on every door of the masjid, you have Israeli soldiers. They decide who goes in and they decide who does not go in. So for Fajr Salah on the second day, we were refused. On the first day, even last time when we went in August, but alhamdulillah, we managed every day. This time, first day, okay. Second day, because they saw that there's more foreigners from the UK, from Indonesia, from other places, said no, you can't go. Go back. We tried another door, because there's only three doors open for Fajr Salah. For the rest of the day, there's all the doors are open. So if one says no, you try another door, and it's not an issue. But for Fajr Salah in particular, go. This was at Babun Nadir, the inspector's gate. You know, every door of Al Masjid Al Aqsa, there's a whole tariq and whole history behind it. So we tried Babul Hitta. Hitta is mentioned in the Quran. He said no. Then we tried another gate. He said no. Then we tried. Then they swore at us, abused us, F and this and that. So they decide. Yet, the Imams of Al Masjid Al Aqsa, every day in Maghrib Salah and in Fajr Salah. And this is based on a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yesterday I was teaching at Darul Uloom and the hadith came that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do qunut. Qunut means loud dua in Salah, in Maghrib and in Fajr. So every day, when we went in August, we partook in the Salah and we observed this. And 2 weeks ago we observed this. Maghrib Salah, Fajr Salah, qunut. And qunut and azila does not need to be long. It can be 30 seconds, it can be 1 minute. But qunut is taking place every day. Dua is being made for the people of Gaza by name. They know that the Israeli soldiers are listening. They're there on the door. The same imams have to exit from those doors. So if they can do it, then why can't we do it? Why can't we make dua? Why can't we do qunut? Why can't we make dua after Fard Salah in our khutbahs? So if we want to revive our iman, we can't go to Gaza. And I'm going to talk about somebody who's just been to Gaza. But generally speaking, we cannot go to Gaza due to the siege. Due to the siege. So if we want to revive our iman, well, nowadays, we live in parallel worlds. You know, we look at our lifestyle, we look at our weddings, we look at our events, our functions. Sometimes it feels as though as though nothing's happening in the world. We've become behis. You know, we've become so insensitive. I'm not saying that we don't do anything. Of course, we have to live a life and we have to have functions and we have to have events. But no change. So therefore, you know, people go to Dubai, people go to other places for holidays. The place to go is Al Masjid Al Aqsa. If you've performed your Fard Hajj and if you've done your Umrah once, then the next place you need to go is Al Masjid Al Aqsa. Wallahi Al Azeem, your Iman will be revived. You'll feel different. I saw people, especially even this time, but especially in August because I was there for longer, from Preston, elderly people, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, walking for 1 hour at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning because they're being rejected from one door to another door to a third door. 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, elderly men, elderly ladies. And why is this important? Because for the first time in my life, I saw with my own eyes, and I tweeted this. I saw with my own eyes, after Dhuhr Salah, we came out of Musalla al-Qibli. Musalla al-Qibli is the black or the grey domed building at the front of Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. This is all Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, the Dome of the Rock, the buildings, the various. Everything is part of Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. This is where the Imam leads Salah from. We came out and suddenly we see about 15, 20 Israeli soldiers. And remember, they're always there. Imagine this masjid here and you have 15, 20 soldiers with machine guns. And they're directing people, move away from here, move away from here, move away from here. So we thought to ourselves, what's happening? So then I sensed that maybe they had something else. One of their festivals. Now there's one gate of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. As I said, there's many, many doors of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. One of the doors, Babul Maghariba, the first door, if you are facing the Qibla, then on the right side, which is the first door after the Wailing Wall, they have the key to it. And Muslims cannot enter or exit from that door. The MP for Leicester, who I met whilst I was there, there's an article on one of the news that he, with his other MPs, because they were non-Muslim, they were trying to enter from that door and he was refused. So he took the other door. So they have the key. So within a few minutes, we saw the Israelis entering the masjid, armed guards in front, armed guards behind. So we just stood there outside Musalla al-Qibli. So the Israeli, they were being very aggressive. They move away from here. So we moved away slightly. I have the recording. I took the recording. I put it on my social media as well. And then they went to, on if you're facing the Qibla, on the left side of the masjid, and then they were doing their worship, facing the rock. Because the rock is the Qibla, is their Qibla. And there were approximately up to 100. So Masjid al-Aqsa is under grave threat as we speak. And the number of people in Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, you know, we are an ummah of 1 billion. How many? 1 billion. I could perform wudu after adhan takes place and I could be performing salah in the first saf and in the second saf. Two or three rows. Partly because the Palestinians cannot come. And there's other reasons. So if there is one thing that we can do as Muslims living in the United Kingdom, and this is a message that I want you to share far and wide. Yes, there might be some difficulty at the border. Some people might get refused. Some people might get returned. It's all part of the experience. It's nothing compared to what the Palestinians experience. One day of harassment at the airport or at the border, or 2 days, or a few days. So, this is what we need to do. Visit Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And this is one thing that we Muslims living in the United Kingdom, in America, in Europe, in Western countries, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this passport, has given us certain privileges. So now, we need to make use of those privileges. There are people in the world who cannot visit. There are people in the Middle East who cannot visit. There are people from Pakistan who cannot visit. But we are in this privileged position where we can visit. And when I ask some senior Palestinians that why are they refusing us in Fajr Salah? They said it's because they are angry. They are angry because their tourists are not coming. In fact, their people are leaving Israel. You might have seen the scenes at Tel Aviv airport. They're leaving Israel. They're scared. Yet you people, especially from the UK and from South Africa, you are visiting, you're bringing groups, you're doing i'tikaf in Ramadan. But obviously the numbers are in the hundreds. We need to be in the tens of thousands and going again and again and again with the precautions that the group leaders will advise. So, and this was the first time, of course I had read about it in the news that there's Israelis coming into the masjid and doing this and doing their worship. And then we were walking and we exited one of the doors to enter the graveyard. Next to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, you have Maqbaratul Rahma, the graveyard of mercy, where two senior companions of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam are buried, Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu an and Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu ta'ala an. Right. Next to the wall of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa are their graves. So to reach the graveyard, you have to exit the masjid and enter the graveyard. And then we thought that we would come back because Asr Salah was in about an hour. But as we were coming back, they said, no, you cannot enter the masjid. Come after 1 hour. Whereas during the daytime, they don't do this. It was only because their worshippers were worshipping inside the masjid. So, this is why I say to people, some people are very quick, some people are very quick to criticize our Palestinian brothers and sisters. They did what they did and they do what they do because Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is being violated. 7th of October did not happen in isolation. 7th of October happened because the violations in the Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa had rapidly increased in the days before 7th of October. The media does not mention this. The media does not mention this. That is why I say to people, stay quiet. Don't criticize your brothers and sisters. You don't know what situation they are in. Just because the BBC is saying something, just because the media is saying something, just because the political establishment has a narrative. The majority of the people who were killed, they were killed by the Israelis on that day, on the 7th of October. Now, all the facts are coming to light. But irrespective, we should be very careful before we utter a word about the people who are defending Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, who are defending their own land, their own homes. So my brothers, we need to go to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Who has been from here? Satya ibn Hat, mashallah. Mashallah. Very good. Allah Ta'ala qabool farmai. Allah Ta'ala take you again and again. Go, and especially in this time, is more reward. More reward. Go even if it's just for 2 days, 5 days. Mashallah, there's many groups going. Go as individuals. This is the one thing. Mashallah, we're giving donations. Very good. That will carry on. Charitable efforts will carry on. Other efforts will carry on. But this is, and the Palestinians really, really value and appreciate this. They really value this. They really appreciate this. And by going there, it also sends a message that Masjid al-Aqsa is still important to us. It's still important to the Ummah. Inshallah, sab tayyar hai na? MashaAllah. Very good. Very good. A group is going in September from here, Masjid Nurul Islam. Go and make sure you follow the instructions of the group leaders. Because this can be a problem. Anyway, they will advise. MashaAllah, very good. Every masjid should be taking groups. Go as individuals. It's not difficult. Go as part of a group. Go as individual. If you've been once, then go individually. Let others go in with groups because it's their first time. If you've already been once, then go as individuals. Allah Ta'ala sab ko le jaye, bar bar le jaye. Now, my dear brothers and sisters listening at home, the situation in Gaza is very, very bad. Now, I only have 20 minutes, 25 minutes. But one thing before I forget to mention is that 2 days ago, I was in Bolton in a meeting. You can't go to Gaza at the moment unless you are a doctor, medical professional. And even that is very, very difficult, but part of medical delegations, and after vetting, then doctors can go. Now there is a doctor, a group of doctors who are part of a delegation. They have just returned. And on Friday, I was in a meeting with them in Bolton. So I have invited them to come to Blackburn to deliver a presentation, eyewitness account of what they saw in Gaza. Obviously, we just see what's in the media, what's on social media. So inshallah, the program will take place 2 weeks' time today. 2 weeks to date on the 11th. We're just waiting for final confirmation. Most probably at Jami Masjid because we want to invite the ladies and sisters as well. So, hamari maa behno se bhi darkhast hai. More than likely it will be in Jami Masjid or Masjid al-Sajideen, but most likely in Jami Masjid because with the ladies and the men, it will just be, there will be enough space inshallah for everybody. To wahan par ye program hoga, aap hazrat zarur aaye usme. Eyewitness account of what is happening in Gaza. And they were there just a few weeks ago. And when I saw the presentation, there can only be tears in the eyes. Only tears in the eyes. The halat that they were mentioning. The fact that for the 3 or 4 weeks they were there, they never saw a single piece of fruit. They mentioned that Palestinians are very hospitable. So, and they sent some food and they said that the taste might not be right because we don't have any lemons. And normally when we cook this dish, we use lemon to cook this dish. So this, the situation, more than 50,000 people shaheed. You know, you look at each bomb, each shrapnel. Inshallah, if you come to the program, you will see, because they are medical doctors. They did hundreds of operations. And they were explaining the injuries to the brain, the injuries to the chest, the different injuries. We cannot see it. It's beyond comprehension. So The theme for today, which Maulana mentioned to me, is what can we do? What can we do for our brothers and sisters in Gaza? Some things I've already mentioned. One is that we visit Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa as much as we can, rather than going elsewhere for holiday without any maqsad, without any purpose, without any reason. Let's go to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. The second is to make dua. Dua should not be underestimated. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did qunut for 1 month in salah. Did dua. Did bad dua as well. Did bad dua as well. Made dua with the names of people. That, oh Allah, save so-and-so. Oh Allah, save so-and-so. Oh Allah, save so-and-so. Qunut. Qunut is not just for 1 month. Qunut nazila is to be continued until the nazila comes to an end. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did qunut for 1 month because at the end of 1 month, the situation for which he was making the dua came to an end. So duas need to continue. Duas need to continue. Then, my dear brothers, we have the boycott campaign. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, generally speaking in the UK, the boycott campaign is doing well. But things like Coca-Cola, the other companies, HP, other companies that are supporting the Israeli regime, some of them openly, publicly. Pehle zamane mein ye hota tha ke people would hide things, people would camouflage things. Now, it's open. There's no nifaq. Even politicians open. The other day, outside the Pakistani High Commission, due to the issues in Pakistan, India, the Hindus were protesting against Pakistan. But what flags were they using? Did you see? Israeli flags. Hindus, some of them are fighting in Israel against the Palestinians. So there was a time when individuals and when authorities and governments were doing things behind the scenes, undercover. Lekin ab to sab khul karke, open. Companies are openly supporting Israel. Governments are openly supporting Israel. Some of the Middle Eastern regimes are openly normalizing ties with Israel. Open. With fakhr, with pride. So, the boycott campaign, insofar as possible, I understand that sometimes for everything, insofar as possible, Coke, it's not necessary to drink Coke. There's many alternatives. And even if we don't have fizzy drink, to usme kya asman tut jayega hum par. People over there, they don't have water, they don't have food, they don't have... In Syria, when I was there, they were mentioning that during the siege force in Ghouta, for 6 or 7 years, there was siege. The siege was so severe, this is just the outskirts of Damascus, that children, when the siege finished, children aged 7, 8, if you said to them, what is a biscuit, they did not know the meaning of biscuit, because they had never ever seen a biscuit in their life. This is what a siege means. They had never seen a biscuit. 6 years. If some of them were eating grass, they were living off grass. So, they can have all these sacrifices and we are not willing to sacrifice, you know, some of the luxuries that we have. So this is why I say we are living in parallel worlds. Living in parallel worlds. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Another thing that we can do, my dear brothers, is we can discourage employment from places that are manufacturing arms for Israel. Like British Aerospace in between Blackburn and Preston. How many of our Muslim brothers and sisters are working there? How many of our people are promoting working there? And they think that, some people say that, Maulana, you are a bit extreme. The doctor was mentioning 2 days ago, it was profound. He said, you cannot see the Palestinians of Gaza. You cannot see them. We cannot see them. But they can see you. When you go to a protest in London, they can see you. When they see that the majority of the protesters are non-Muslims, they can see that because they have access to the internet. It's free. He was saying that internet is free there when they have the connection. So how will those Palestinians feel when they hear, that this F-16, this missile, parts of the jet were manufactured in a place between Blackburn and Preston, which was home to tens of thousands of Muslims and 100 masjids, where there were hundreds of ulama and tablighi jamaat and lots of other dini work taking place, and people were proud of being Muslim. And they did not hold on to the hands of their brothers and sisters who were working there. And they were working there, and arms were being made, and missiles were being made, and fighter parts of the F-16s were being made. How will they feel? How would you feel? How would I feel? If my daughter, if my son, if my parent was killed, was injured, was permanently disabled as a result of some, one person said to me, well, Maulana, but they also supply to Saudi Arabia. I said, and? Saudi Arabia has killed thousands of Muslims in Yemen. These are just excuses. So, risk is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look for another job. Resign. Do the honorable thing and resign. Allah ta'ala, I guarantee you on oath, on qasam, that if somebody who works there and resigns for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, for a few weeks he won't have a job. Allah ta'ala looks. Allah ta'ala, it's a test. Not that first you get a job and then you resign. Okay, that's good as well. But if you resign for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of our Palestinian brothers, wallahi, you will get a better job. And you will have barakah. Even if you don't have a better job, you will have barakah and contentment and sukoon. You will feel better for the rest of your life. It's not all about money. Therefore, if there is one thing, you know, we have 100 people here, 200 people here, and maybe others listening. If we know anybody who is working there, what's Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? مَنْ رَآ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. You see something wrong? We can't stop the Israelis. But we can stop our brothers and sisters who are working in BAE, who are working in Elbit, who are working for these firms that are directly manufacturing arms. What have we done to stop them? Hold on to their hands. Stop them. فَإِلَّمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِ. If you can't, then with your tongue. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluma." Help your brother, whether he is an oppressor or the oppressed. Sahaba said, "Ya Rasulullah, helping the oppressed, understood. How can we support the oppressor, the zalim?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hold on to his hands. Stop him from the zulm. This is your duty and your responsibility." So this is something, my dear brothers and sisters, we can all do. You know, this protest taking place outside these different arm factories, and those need to continue, and we should support them. But I said to colleagues, the biggest message that we can send as a Muslim community to these firms is that we will not work for you. Resign. That is the biggest message. They protest, they know, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. From this entrance, they'll use this entrance. If not this entrance, they'll use that entrance. Good, we need to do that as well. But if we want to send a message to them, then the message is, and then we have our schools promoting these companies. Our schools. We could do it for some career fair or for something else. Whether it's a Muslim school or otherwise, if these firms come into our schools, we should write to the head teacher. My child will not be coming into school on that day. We don't want to be part of this. So these are things to be done. dua and dawa. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not suffice on dua. Sahaba did not suffice on dua. That we just sit and make dua. Dua to karna hi karna hai. Dua in the night, dawa in the day. This is what Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, practical things. Not everybody can do everything. Not everybody can do everything. But there's certain things that some of us can do. Other things other people can do. And this specifically for Muslims of Blackburn and Preston. There's other things other places are doing. Because we have many of our brothers and sisters working there. So if there's 200 people listening to my message here today who can convey this to another 200 and then to another 200, let us not normalize. Let us not normalize working there. Working there should be a stain. I'm not saying that you start harassing people. No. With hikmah, with wisdom. With hikmah and wisdom. Not everybody's iman is on the same level. With hikmah and wisdom. But we should not normalize working in these places. And this is not just a Muslim issue. So many non-Muslims are protesting outside Elbit, outside BAE, outside other places. And employment is your own choice. So it will be very, 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 very painful and sad that our brothers and sisters continue to work in these places. Whether it's an apprenticeship, whatever it is, we should not have anything to do with such companies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and protect us. My dear brothers, also, you know, fatigue kicks in. This has been going on since the 7th of October now, nearly a year and a half. But only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course it did not start on the 7th of October. It has been going on for the best part of the last century. We should not lose hope. We should not lose hope. Inna Allah la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin. I never thought, I visited Syria in 2013 and 2014 at the peak of the war. And on one occasion, Allah Ta'ala saved us. There was a fighter jet that dropped a bomb just a few hundred meters away. Maulana Fadlur Rahman was with me from Beirut, chaplain at our hospital. And now sometimes we laugh over it as well. You know. I did not think that Syria would be liberated. How the halat change, we don't know. In 11 days, the country was liberated. In 11 days. So, we might not live to see the day when Masjid al-Aqsa is liberated, when Palestine is liberated. We might. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Sometimes, sacrifices 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, sometimes short, sometimes long. We don't know. So, at the beginning of this crisis, people had a lot of josh. And it's natural, it's human nature. Something happens, there's more media focus, now the media focus has reduced. And generally, our reaction revolves around the media coverage. Because that's our source of information. And the media controls our emotions. So, fatigue kicks in. But we need to keep the momentum. So on the 17th of May, there is a national demonstration in London. And this demonstration is for Gaza, but also to commemorate the Nakba. The Nakba is the catastrophe. Nakba means catastrophe. The 1948, the catastrophe occurred on that day. So therefore there is a, you know, this small demonstrations. Not, as I said, not everybody is going to go to all the demonstrations. But this Nakba is a huge one, is a major one. Inshallah, I will be going myself. So therefore it is my appeal that there should be a few coaches from this area of Audley Range, from Nurul Islam, Jami Masjid, Ghoshia Masjid. So inshallah, if the brothers and the sisters can make an effort. Now, as I said, it doesn't mean that we go to a protest and suddenly the situation in Gaza is going to change overnight. It might not happen. But it does make a difference. Every little helps. Otherwise, why do you think that there was an attempt to ban some of these protests, to limit some of these protests, especially the ones in London. Especially the ones, you know, when we go to Palestine, and those of you who have visited recently, you will know. This is one of the questions they ask. Did you attend the protest in London? Which charity do you support for Gaza? It hurts. It hurts them when they see that in the heart of, in the king of democracies, and outside Parliament, and outside Whitehall, and outside the Metropolitan Police, outside Scotland Yard, that is hundreds of thousands, Muslims, non-Muslims, people from all swathes of life gathering, and not once, not twice, tens of times, month after. So it shows that it hurts. Unko takleef ho rahi isse. Otherwise, why would they wouldn't do anything? They say, okay, let them do what they're doing. So therefore, and as Dr. Saab mentioned, that they can see, the people of Gaza, the people of Palestine, they can see. What they cry, who's coming, who's not coming, what are the Muslims doing? So therefore, it is my appeal to everybody that inshallah, because this is a major one, so there should be, it shouldn't be the case that there's only one coach going from Blackburn. 50,000 Muslims and only 50 people going. We can go to other places, we can go abroad, we can travel. So let us make the effort. Of course, we keep our gaze low and we do riayat of all those things, as we do when we go for shopping and when we go to Trafford Center and when we go to hundreds of other places in the world. Sometimes Masla Masail only come out when it comes to the Palestinian demonstrations. So of course, we do all of that. We use common sense. We behave, we comply with the law. We don't do anything silly. And we go and we attend. So ye bhi ek kaam karne ki hai. I have a few minutes left. So inshallah, I will just mention a couple of other things very quickly. And then I will conclude. We've talked about charitable efforts. We've talked about doing good deeds. We've talked about briefly about us also bringing a change within our lives and our lifestyle. Yeh bahut zaruri hai. One of the things that Dr. Saab also mentioned the other day was that be a bit sensitive. People of Gaza see when you post about your food and your events and your celebrations. And so he was just mentioning the point that be sensitive about what you share on social media and what you don't share. Education, very, very important. You know, today's session is very, very brief, but talk with your ulama. Imams and ulama will provide you with all the training, all the education, but we need to have the zeal and the passion. Let us have a few sessions about Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the history of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. There's so much to talk about. Just the 2 days that I visited, I've missed out on so much, the places that we visited and the things that we did. There's so much history, there's so much learning, there's so much heritage of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, of Palestine. There's so much to learn. Mudhakara within our masjids and within our homes and within our families. The halat. Once a week with our families. Mention a story. What has happened this week in Gaza? What has happened this week in Burma? What has happened this week in China? Mudhakara. This will soften our hearts. This will soften the hearts of our children. This will strengthen our iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had deep concern. Ummati, ummati, my ummah, my ummah. So, recollecting the halat of our Muslim brothers and sisters, what is happening? If we can't do anything else, let us talk about them. Let us remember them. Because that's what we would do if our brother in India was in pain. If our parent in India was in pain, then this is what we would be doing. We would be talking about it. These are our brothers, these are our sisters, these are our daughters. These are our parents. So this is also something which is very, very important. Pressuring politicians, I've spoke about that many times. Mashallah, Blackburn and Leicester and Bradford. Last year we sent a good message. So alhamdulillah, that was good. We have elections coming up again, I think. I don't know. I've not been following what the situation is. But again, message needs to be sent to the mainstream parties that don't take our vote for granted. Especially Blackburn. Blackburn has a negative stain throughout the world. Because our votes were taken for granted. And unfortunately, we supported parties that were complicit in the murder of our brothers and sisters. This is reality. We can't shy away from it. We can't shy away from it. But alhamdulillah, last year, there was some relief. There was some relief. Although our local MP before that was also good, was pro-Palestine. But it wasn't about the person, it was about the party. And even today, the party is the same. Upar kya hota hai, niche kya hota hai. You understand? One is to say something. And then what is happening behind the scenes? All you have to do is go on to some of the social media accounts that just monitor the RAF and other jets circling around Gaza, providing intelligence. Monitoring, spying. Now, you know, before there was a time, 20, 30 years ago, when information, now it's live. Everything is live. Nobody can say that we didn't know. Before you'd find out after 1 month, after 2 months. Everything is live for those who want to know. And it's not difficult to know. So this is all happening. So therefore, mainstream parties, message needs to be sent to them. Showing solidarity. I'm not into these flags of countries. There's no such thing as Jordan and this country and this country and that country. These are all states that were created by the enemy to divide us. But nevertheless, the Palestinian flag has become a symbol of resistance, a symbol for Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa of Palestine. So in that spirit, we should display it. On our cars, on our homes. Show solidarity. Show solidarity. Within our masjids. Every masjid should have a flag on the wall. How many masjids are they going to close down? Hum itne buzdil ho chuke hain. Itne buzdil ho chuke hain. That we can't even place flags on our homes. It's a sad state of affairs. As I say, we live in parallel worlds. Parallel worlds. It's 47. Anybody have any questions? Yes.
Well, you mentioned the military complex. Mashallah, in Blackburn, much effort and work has been done. The elephant in the room is with regards to the two education establishments we have, which have excelled nationally, which is Torhedral Boys and Torhedral Girls High School. And their infiltration with the Zionist entities, such as Pierce Foundation and also the Royal Army. What can the community do to dissuade Mufti Amit Patel and his leadership, and especially the board of directors that sit there, to stop this, because this is a problem. And when we talk about the cadets program that the schools have in the boys' side, it's about encouraging boys' behavior, but I think that's a smokescreen. So what can we do to dissuade this, because this is a big problem.
Jazakallah. Parents who have concerns should raise the concerns with the school management and the school senior leadership team. Should raise it. I have personally raised the issue of BAE, and I was promised that BAE will not be coming to those schools any longer. This was a year ago, and I hope that remains the case, inshallah. But with wisdom, with hikmah, we should try and request for change. Any other questions? Yes.
You mentioned many things that we can do in the short term. I think, you know, for us as parents of young children and working in maybe madrasas or in education establishments, what can we kind of direct our young children towards to help the cause in the long term? So, for example, you mentioned medics who can go and help. Is there certain things like they'd encourage, like politics or
Look, every
certain things that could help.
Yeah, there is no one field. Mashallah, good question. There is no one field. Everybody can play a role. Whether you are a doctor, you are a lawyer, you are an alim, you are a businessman, whatever field, whatever skill, whatever bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, then you can play a role. You know, this is not, Allah Ta'ala is mustaghni. And, you know, I have seen even in Syria, even in Palestine, you don't have to be, for example, a doctor or an alim to bring about change. As long as you have the courage, you have the sincerity, you have the intention, in whatever field you are, look at Friends of Al-Aqsa. Friends of Al-Aqsa, who I believe have done in relation to the Masjid Al-Aqsa in the UK, has done tajdidi work, you know, revolutionary work. The founder is an optician. Ismail Bai is an optician. He's not an alim. He went to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in the 1990s, and then he thought that I should set up this organization. He has done revolutionary work. He still runs an... I met him a few months ago in Leicester, and he was in his clinic. He was doing some eye tests. So there's no... Allah Ta'ala can accept anybody's work. Whatever skill, whatever area of work that you want to go into, excel in that field and then use those skills. Wallahi, when I saw the doctor who went to Gaza, you know, 2 days ago, my father was also there, and he mentioned that our teaching of Bukhari for our entire life, and this doctor risking his life. You know, I don't know about you, but if anybody told me today that, are you ready to go Gaza? You know, I'd be risking his life. My father said that his one day is better than my entire life of teaching. Only Allah knows, but this is the point is that we in whatever field of work that you are working in, there is a role for everybody to play. Inshallah.
Boycotting things, right? You boycott such a company, this company, that company. But UAE and Saudi Arabia, they're complicit. Why can't you boycott them? People going on holidays to Dubai, luxury holidays, and Umrah and Hajj repeatedly every year. So why can't we boycott them?
The net, obviously, will be, there's many, many countries and many, many, if somebody wants to boycott them, is good. Hajj Umrah, obviously, is Hajj Umrah. But as I said, if you've done your Fard Hajj, and if you've done your Umrah once, then the next place to go is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. But obviously, we cannot say that don't go Makkah, Medina. Makkah, Medina are also sacred. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged people to go to Makkah and Medina. But other than that, Maulana is correct, that without a reason to go to Dubai, and for that matter, any place. You know, if we travel anywhere, there should be a maqsad, there should be a religious reason, whether that's helping Muslims, whether that's ilm, whether that's tabligh, there should be some maqsad, there should be some purpose. And support and provide support to those in need. But in the end, it's a perspective. So if somebody is going for Umrah and Hajj, you know, we need to take everybody with us as well. So with hikmah, with wisdom. But there are many, many things that we can do and which we should do. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala shower His mercy upon the ummah. And as I said, inshallah, there will be the... Inshallah, Imam Sahib will announce it once it's fixed. But most probably on the 11th of May, we will have an eyewitness account from Gaza. And I will recommend, strongly recommend everybody... Because what I'm saying is Masjid Al-Aqsa. I have not been to Gaza. So, and mashallah, many people from here are going and can go to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, but we can't go to Gaza. So let us hear firsthand from those who have visited Gaza recently as to what is happening in Gaza at the moment, what is the situation in Gaza at the moment. And it will also act as a booster so that inshallah, I'm going to invite some of our doctors as well. And it would be nice for us to send some doctors from Blackburn to go to Gaza as well, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khair wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.